This is interesting music. I don't know what this is.
What is this, Jasmine?
I'm scared of this.
It's Audioslave Cohese.
It feels like guys on motorcycles are chasing us.
Yeah, but they can't quite get started,
right.
So we're getting away.
Right.
I kind of like it.
It's not bad. All right, good. Everybody's happy with it. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. I don't know if you're aware of this, but guys on motorcycles are chasing us. Yikes.
Hey, you didn't say it.
It's Friday. It's the greatest day, in my opinion, it's the greatest day ever invented. If you want to call and debate that, I'd be happy to, but I think this is a pretty good day, this Friday. I'm a big fan of the Friday.
What about people who work weekends? Not so good.
I still think they could find something in a Friday to enjoy. Don't you? Even if you're working the weekends, you could still go, this isn't a bad day.
What if they're off Wednesday and Thursday and this is their Monday?
I will do this on a case-by-case basis.
All right, good.
Depending on who you are and what your work situation is, I'll either say this is the greatest day ever invented or certainly among the... Even if it wasn't, it's still one of the best. So let's round it off and say it's the best.
All right.
Let's be easier that way. Welcome to the show. It should be a good one. There's a bar here in Chicago that is patterned after Moe's Tavern in The Simpsons. We will explore that. Kurt Wagner will stop by. Steve Dale will be by. Our friend Jerry Nunn from Nunn on the Run will be with us on the stream. So that's
yes.
A lot of stuff.
These shows have been too busy lately.
Very busy shows. Yesterday, you and I spoke with Dennis Leary, the comedian and the actor.
Huge fan of his.
Yeah, he's really good. And he said something that stuck with me after the show. He was talking about trust, and there needs to be more trust. And he said, the most trusted person in America is, do you remember who it was?
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, he said, was the most trusted person in America. So after the show, I was thinking about it, and I went, I guess that makes sense. I guess. And he even, Dennis Leary said that most of the people on the top 10 list are actors. And I looked it up afterwards. So Tom Hanks is number one.
Which is good, because he is running for president. Isn't The Rock going to be his running mate? Didn't we establish that on SNL?
They said it on Saturday Night Live.
It sounds crazy, but you know what?
Crazy happens sometimes.
It does.
Tom Hanks is the most trusted man in America. Now, keep in mind, Reader's Digest did this poll, and they did it 4 years ago. And I guess they did it 4 years ago because maybe in the last 3 or 4 years, trust has been hard to come by. So maybe they just don't do this poll anymore. But Tom Hanks was, according to Reader's Digest a few years ago, the most trusted person in America, followed by Sandra Bullock, followed by Denzel Washington.
Exactly what he mentioned yesterday in this order.
Word for word,
so
right?
He took it from the Reader's Digest as well.
Meryl Streep was number four. And Maya Angelou, who's no longer with us, was number five.
Can she still be trusted?
I still trust Maya Angelou.
She's not going to betray you.
Not anymore. Nope. There was a time. I have a story. It's crazy, but I will tell you later. All right. So those are. All right. So also in the list is Julia Roberts. She's one of the most trusted people in America.
She was a former hooker.
No, that was just in a movie.
Oh.
She just played the role.
She doesn't seem very trustable to me. I'm sorry.
Julia Roberts
doesn't?
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Do you say that?
I don't know why. She just doesn't seem like someone I could trust.
Really?
All the others I agree with.
We don't know any of those people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Steven Spielberg is on the list.
I don't trust him.
You don't trust Steven Spielberg?
No,
you don't. When you're going to a movie and you see his name above it, you don't go, I bet this is going to be a pretty good movie because Steven Spielberg made it.
Well, yeah, I think that, but he's made some duds, hasn't he?
He's made a couple that aren't great.
But, you know, I think trustworthy, Steven Spielberg does not come
not
up.
Not out there. All right.
Nor does Julia Roberts.
Both Bill Gates and his wife Melinda Gates are in the top 10. Bill Gates is number 7, his wife Melinda, slightly less trustworthy, number 9. If you have a secret and you're going to tell one of the Gateses, go with Bill, according to Reader's Digest. But here's what's fascinating about this to me. Tom Hanks, Sandra Bullock, Denzel Washington, Meryl Streep, Julia Roberts, all in the top 10 of the most trustworthy people in America, all actors and actresses who, by definition, make their living by fooling you.
You're right.
Making you believe that they are somebody that they're not, and yet they are the most trusted people in the country.
See, I would put Oprah at the top of that list. And
shockingly, She's nowhere near the top of the list. She's in the top 100, but she's not in the top 20.
Wouldn't you put her closer to the top?
I would have thought she'd be number one or number two.
Listen, how can we start a campaign to have Oprah run for presidency in 2020? Listen to me.
It's been brought up before. It's not the first time.
Okay, but before everyone's thinking, what, you know, what experience does she have to be president?
Right.
Why, how could she win?
Right.
I think we should start something going because she would be a good president.
Right. I think we should look to people who have no government experience because
for a change and see what happens.
No idea how to pass legislation.
Right.
You know what, though? She would research it, and she would figure out how to do it, and she would surround herself with people who could help her make the best decisions for this country.
Like Nate Birkus and Dr. Oz.
Right, Dr. Oz is a winner.
He'd be on there. Gail
no,
King,
I don't think
Secretary
she's really with them anymore. Is
well,
she?
Actually, Dr. Oz made the top 20.
Get
no.
out.
He was number...
Because he shouldn't even be on that. He's not even a doctor,
11,
is he?
12, 13, 14, 15, 16. He is a doctor. Dr. Mehmet Oz is number 16, the 16th most trusted person, followed by Sanjay Gupta.
I trust him.
Also a doctor.
I 100% trust him.
Number 11 on the list, by the way, a man named Robert Lefkowitz, a Nobel Prize winning chemist. And I mention that only because his last name is the same that mine was when my relatives came over from Russia.
Do you know him?
I don't know him.
Well,
but
no one...
On my copy of the list, though, Steve, I crossed out the name Robert and I put my name in.
Oh, good.
So I am the 11th most trusted person.
Well, no one trusts you, so maybe you should go back to Lefkowitz.
Maybe I will. That wouldn't be a bad idea. That wouldn't be a bad idea. Now, for decades, you know who was called the most trusted person in America for decades? He's no longer with us.
Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite was considered to be, by almost everybody, the most trusted man in America. And that was the man who brought you the nightly news. So everybody went, well, if he's saying it, how could it not be 100% accurate?
Did he ever report fake news, do you think? Because I don't think he ever did.
I don't think he had it in him to report fake news.
I'm sure he researched and double-checked before he did anything.
Right. Now, Huntley and Brinkley, nothing but lies. From the first story to the last, they were just making it up on the fly. Nothing was even written on the cue cards. They would just make up stories.
Remember they used to try to crack each other up with outrageous stories, one then the other.
Did they? I don't remember that.
No,
I don't think
that was common.
That was not true.
See, I hate both of you because I am so gullible. I never know when to believe you. You'd think I would have learned my lesson.
Steve and I are the Huntley and Brinkley of our generation.
Good for you.
And you are the American people.
Remember at the end of every night, they'd go, good night, Chet. Good night, David. And they were like real grumpy about it.
Yeah, and their name were Mike
night,
and
Chet.
Bill.
Yeah.
Good night. David Brinkley was the best.
Yeah, I loved him.
I don't remember watching much of them.
He was so good.
And then he didn't start the Sunday morning shows, but
a staple for a long time.
Yeah, this week with David Brinkley.
Yep.
I was playing when I was a kid.
Yeah. Mm. Who had time for that? Who would you say, don't answer yet, let's take a break. I'm curious as to who you think you trust more than anybody. Who is the one person that you, if you had to have keep a secret, or if somebody told you something, you go, well, it must be this guy or this girl. They're the one who told me, and I trust them. Who would that be? Steve, I want to hear yours, too. We'll take a break, and then more of this sort of behavior. We're at 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, we're talking about trust. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. We had Dennis Leary on yesterday, and for some reason he was saying yesterday that America needs to have more trust. Who do we trust? There was a poll done by Reader's Digest. Keep in mind it was a couple years back. They haven't done one since. Tom Hanks.
You can trust no one now.
I don't think you can anymore. Well, that's the point of this, is that by rights, when you look at it and you say, who should the most trusted person or people in America be? It should be the president. It should be the vice president. It should be the Speaker of the House. It should be your senators, your governors. Those should be. I don't see them on the list. I don't see them anywhere near the list.
I'm going to say something that's going to get a lot of people angry.
What is it?
I trusted Barack Obama.
I did too.
I
did too.
He had
you don't know?
No,
he's no
I still
president.
Do, but there are a lot of people that, are you kidding? You know, thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
But I did.
Yeah.
I trusted him.
I'll tell you what, I trust John McCain.
I do too.
I really do. If he says something, I don't say to myself, well, he's probably got some hidden agenda when he says something like that. I don't remember the last time he said anything that I questioned. I go, yeah, that makes sense.
Speaking of John McCain, and I don't know, Steve, was it you who said you... No, it was Eric Zorn who started watching the Vietnam War documentary, Ken Burns.
Yeah.
There's unbelievable footage of John McCain who was captured, and he's in it, a young John McCain, and wanted to... He had... his father was... I don't know. He was high up in the military ranks, and they could have gotten him out. And he's like, no, I want to stay till all these guys are gone.
Wow.
I mean, it's
noble.
Totally trust the guy.
Yeah. So it should be our politicians, as we said earlier.
That's so funny to hear you say that out loud,
It should be, right?
And not just Donald Trump. Bruce Rauner. All these people that...
You name your politician.
I don't really trust many of them.
You take it all with a grain of salt, don't you? Anytime a politician says something, you go, well, based on the track record of politicians on the whole, I don't know if this is true or not. So then branch out. If you look at news people, for a long time, when Ron Majors was anchoring the Channel 7 News, I said to myself, I don't think Ron has it in him to not tell you the truth. You know, and I knew him pretty well because I worked in the building with him, and I'd see him almost every day. He just seemed like a guy that if he said something, you'd mark it down as true, right? And Sapelsa is like that. Mark Sapelsa is like that, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's, in fact, when you said Ron Majors, my brain also went to Mark Sapelsa.
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would compromise. Like if a story came down the line, he seems like he would tell you the way it should be told, right? All the facts are there.
And Charlie Wojciechowski.
Charlie Wojciechowski is a given.
I don't know why. Very much.
Jerry Taft.
He's a soft-spoken guy, and I really trust him.
Yeah, because he's soft-spoken.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really trust him.
Yeah. What about Steve Bertrand? You trust him at all?
Sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
I feel he's a trustworthy guy. I can't stand the two of you that...
Why?
Because you say things that I really believe, and I feel stupid.
I don't remember ever doing that.
We would never steer you wrong.
Never.
See, that's the thing. You both would, and you'd laugh about it.
No.
No.
So, no, I don't trust Bertrand, and I certainly don't trust you.
Oh, that's hurting. That hurts.
There's a difference between a short-term little fool...
Right.
Oh, yeah.
...and big-term, you know...
What did you call me? Tolly. I trust you when it comes to news. When we ask you a question, when Bill and I honestly don't know the answers, and we say, well, maybe Steve knows more about that.
Yeah.
I 100% trust you in the journalistic way, Steve. But as a person,
never.
No.
Otherwise, we're just friends.
Yeah.
If that. Maybe not even that. Now, you trust Jimmy, your husband, right?
You asked me the question. You posed this question to me. What was it?
Who do you trust the most? Who's the one person that... If you had a secret to tell somebody or if somebody told you something, you'd go, well, this, I don't even need to check sources. I heard it from him or from her.
I was going to say my sister.
Oh, interesting.
Because I really trust her, but I think she would maybe not keep a secret because she likes to be right. So she would get someone on her side. I can trust her, but I'd have to go Jim with everything.
Yeah, I'm like that with Terry, too.
Which is probably a good thing.
Right. It is a good thing.
Oh, I can't trust my spouse.
No, well, but think about it. This is sad, but true. A lot of people can't. I've never experienced that. I always know if my wife tells me something, it's more than likely true.
Yeah. Although you two are pranksters, too. Yeah. So I wouldn't trust either of you, quite honestly.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but you are flattered by that.
But within our dome of confidence...
Yeah.
You know, we...
For, like, serious things.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You have to specify that, I think.
Yes.
I agree.
It's just, like, on the whole, as I looked through this list this morning, because I thought about this a lot yesterday after Dennis Leary said it, because he said, boy, so many of the top 10 are actors. And I went, is that accurate? And I looked it up, and it is accurate.
Which is weird, because you're right, Steve. We don't know them.
Right.
We know what they portray on the big screen or little screen.
Yeah, but they're kind of unchallenged. You know, politicians are challenged.
Yeah.
But look at how angry people get when actors or rock stars or athletes say something of a political bend.
Rosie O'Donnell and Bono.
Right. So, right.
Seriously, though, that's when she started. I thought Rosie was very funny. I enjoyed her. I want my Rosie to be funny.
Right. But
that's my point. You kind of create them in your own mind.
Yeah.
What kind of people
of what their accuracy is, right?
Yeah.
Right. But so why do people get so upset if we trust our actors and our rock stars and our athletes and our musicians? So why when they do get all political on us, why do we turn on them and say, hey, play the hits?
Because how many years ago was this poll?
4 years ago.
Okay, maybe, well, I guess they were still political then.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
Look at the people you mentioned. Has Tom Hanks gotten really political?
A little bit. Not overly.
But not pushing, you know, shoving it down your throat.
He, a week or so ago, was saying some.
This was 4 years ago.
Right, this was 4 years ago. Yeah.
And all the other top five, Sandra Bullock.
But, and there's, I neglected to mention this, there's a lot of Nobel Prize winners on this list. You know, if you look at the top 100, even the top 20 has three Nobel Prize winners. Tony Dungy, former football coach, is number 20th on the list. I thought that was strange.
That is strange.
I'm not sure why he'd be there, but I guess, you know. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We have a full show, all kinds of things on today's show. Something for everybody. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I wish today was one of those days where, and I know it's happened to you, Bill, you look up in a blue sky and you see the fluffy clouds and you're like, Simpson clouds!
Sure. Yeah. Well, had a good day when that happens.
Yeah, there's no real sun today. But if you're a Simpsons fan, which we both are, there's a little pop-up bar that you can go to and actually have Duff's beer, and it is called Moe's Tavern, right? Mark, wait, let me try your last name. Mark Kwiatkowski?
Pretty close. Kwiatkowski.
I think you're saying it wrong, Mark.
All right, Mark Kwiatkowski, correct?
Perfect.
All right, the replay, Lincoln Park, is going to pay homage to Simpsons' Moe's Tavern, and you are turning your place into Moe's Tavern, correct?
Yes, we already did. We've been running it for a little over a week now, and we're running it through Halloween.
All right, and you're going to have Duff beer there?
Yes, we have Duff beer, and you can actually Duff any beer. We have Duff beer koozies, so you can wrap any beer and basically walk around and call it a Duff.
Do you? I'm sure you've thought of this already, Mark, but just a friendly reminder, do you have the blessing of the people behind The Simpsons in doing this?
I've had conversations with Fox.
Oh, you have.
So we're
you're always ruining the fun.
Okay.
Bill.
I'm just curious because I don't want you to get in any legal trouble. But I'm
they'll
sure
they'll be gone before any legal trouble happens.
That's true. All right. That's true.
All right. Will there be a flaming Moe? And what? How do you make those?
Absolutely. We have flaming Moe. It's a bit proprietary, but there's a lot of ingredients. I had a lot of fun watching The Simpsons and pausing episodes to watch how the flaming Moe was created. Ours includes some premium spirits, including Copper and King's American Craft Brandy, some fruit brandies, a few other ingredients, and then topped off with 151 rum to make it flame up.
Wow.
Now, Moe's Bar on The Simpsons, Mark, has that very appetizing jar of eggs there on the corner of the bar. Does yours have that?
Absolutely. We really paid attention to the details, including one black egg.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Smart move.
So obviously, Mark Kwiatkowski, you're the owner of Replay in Lincoln Park, which, by the way, 2833 North Sheffield Avenue. You're obviously a big Simpsons fan.
Absolutely. My wife Jessica and I used to watch it a lot when we were younger, you know, 20 years ago or so. And then my son recently got into it. He's 12, and he was watching it, and I would watch it with him a little bit. And then he was interested in the Moe's Tavern episodes because he knew his dad was in the bar business. and then I started paying closer attention as well. And I said, wow, there's so much detail in this. And I was amazed. I was surprised. Like, you'd have to pause episodes and glean all the little details. And I thought, wow, this would be so much fun to do something with this. And these pop-up things, this pop-up craze has been kind of hot in Chicago. And I decided, let's do this for Halloween. Let's dress the bar up for Halloween and call it Moe's Tavern and pay attention to all the details. And we did it.
Are kids allowed inside, Mark,
no,
or are they not allowed in?
Just my kids.
That's
21
seems right
and up.
Yeah.
Didn't you used to go to a bar? Was it with your aunt or your...
My grandfather used to bring me to a tavern all the time.
But you would just sit there and
watch him drink. Yeah, it was fun.
It was a happy life.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
The city frowns upon that nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
All
rules
right.
have changed.
This is just going on through October 31st, correct?
Yeah, it ends on at 2 a.m. on November 1st officially, yes.
All right. I notice in the press release it says replaylincolnpark.com is the website, and it has 2833 North Sheffield. There is no phone number. Is that so people can't call and prank call you like Bart always did to Mo?
We actually have received a few crank calls. It's funny. We have a...
I'm looking for Amanda Hug and Kiss. Where's Amanda Hug and Kiss?
That's the classic one, absolutely. And we do have the Simpsons arcade games. In fact, we are a Replay Lincoln Park. We're an arcade bar. All our games are free, and we have the Simpsons arcade game on free play as all the other games we have. And we're also bringing in the Simpsons pinball party.
Oh, nice!
That's a great machine.
Pinball. Good.
Hey, rumor has it that there's going to be an appearance by Duffman.
He is. He's coming tonight at 8 p.m.
So what will he do, yeah, or is it all top secret? What
Just say,
Duffman
I'm
will do?
Duffman.
That's all he needs to do.
That's all he's going to do, and like say his little catchphrases and thrust his hips and sample some Duff beer.
Mark, this is a stroke of genius. Do you have anything planned for after Mo's Bar goes away? Are you going to do this sort of thing again?
Yeah, absolutely. It was so much fun. I haven't figured out exactly what we're going to do, but I think something Christmas themed is next.
Bill will come in his bunny suit, his pink bunny suit, if you want to
Whatever
do a Christmas
need.
Story.
Yep, I'm here for you.
I love it. I'll hit you up on that.
All right.
It's Mark Kwiatkowski. He is the owner of Replay Lincoln Park, and Replay Lincoln Park is going to pay homage to the Simpsons Moe's Tavern. What about the television reels? What are they playing?
Oh, so we did a good job crafting or just splicing together a bunch of infomercials from The Simpsons and Kent Brockman newsreels. So you feel like you're in Moe's watching Kent Brockman on the news.
Great job
this
with this.
Great.
Thank you very much.
All right, once again,
it's been a lot of fun.
2833 North Sheffield Avenue. It's Replay Lincoln Park, and it's now going to be FOMO's. Or Moe's Tavern until 2 in the morning on November 1st, did you say?
Yes.
And then you could stop over to Lard Lad Donuts and cap the night off, can't you?
We do have a great coffee and donut drink.
Do you?
I'm running around town buying all the pink sprinkled donuts I can from anywhere I can.
We went through
like 10 dozen yesterday.
And show up tonight at 8 o'clock because Duffman will be there. Mark, such a pleasure to meet you. Good luck and keep us posted with the next pop-up bar that Replay Lincoln Park does.
Awesome. Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Bill.
Take care. Have a good weekend. That's you Mark. Too. Wendy, you want to say his last name again for us?
I got it nailed now. It's Kwiatkowski.
Yep.
I didn't know that Mo blasted into the future, but he is now tweeting things.
Bonnie needs a bra. Krusty should choke on his stolen jokes. Marge got noodle arms. Bumblebee Man took an American's job. And Chris Paul is a traitor to L.A. And send. I never felt so presidential.
Wow, nice. All right, a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder with you on WGN. We're at 312-981-7200. Should you want to participate, if you want to call, ask us a question, make a comment, whatever you want, that's your number to call or text us. Ellen DeGeneres is in trouble, Wendy.
Which is weird because I would have put her on the most trustable people, too.
She's on the list. She's number 18, I believe. Hold on.
And this Reader's Digest did this 4 years ago, the most trustworthy people of all time.
Number 17 as of 4 years ago, Ellen DeGeneres was the 100 most trusted person in America. But now people are angry. How come, you ask? How come?
How come,
well,
I'm asking.
Good question, Wendy. It was Katy Perry's birthday. So Ellen DeGeneres and her wife, Portia de Rossi, took a picture with Katy Perry. And Katy Perry and Ellen are very close. They've been friends for years. Katy Perry shows up on her talk show from time to time. She always does a nice job. They seem to have a good working relationship. So Ellen DeGeneres takes a picture with Portia de Rossi on one side and Katy Perry on the other. Katy Perry is wearing, as you might imagine, a very low-cut outfit. She does this frequently. In the picture, Ellen DeGeneres is admiring her top.
That's what you do when they're out there for all to see.
Well, she's really admiring. Like, she has a look on her face of, I can't believe what I'm seeing. That
That's
kind of a
funny.
Look. It right. And then the caption on the tweet that she sent out says, happy birthday, Katy Perry. It's time to bring out the big balloons. And people are very angry.
Oh, come on.
At Ellen DeGeneres. And many people have said this. I'm trying to think of who the most notable. Many people have said that if it were a man who had said this, they'd be all over him saying, what? Hey, with the climate right now, you're going to pull that. You're going to say this?
That's
really?
True. But sometimes women can get away with things. Although I have to throw in there the fact that she's a lesbian. Does that matter?
I wondered that myself, and I don't think it does or should, but maybe it does. But I don't think it should.
You know, if I said that to Katy Perry, I wouldn't be attracted to her as to date her, but maybe Ellen would be.
But here's what I think is the difference if you had said this about Katy Perry.
And I would have.
Yeah, I could see
where
you would.
Or I would have looked at him for sure.
Yeah. But I think maybe the difference here is not that Ellen is a woman as opposed to a man, not that she is a lesbian, but I think the difference may be that they are close friends, that they've been friends
right.
for a long, long time. So a lot of times with somebody that you're close to, you get a little more leeway, right?
Absolutely.
Don't you?
If you're friends, yeah.
Right.
You joke around with friends.
Yeah. And I don't think Katy Perry is upset by this at all.
Well, then why is anybody else upset?
Oh, a lot of people are very upset, saying how insensitive this was, that Ellen on her show is such a sensitive person, and then to say something like this, again, especially with all that's gone on in the past couple of weeks with sexual harassment. But at some point, and we've discussed the harassment cases at great lengths over the last couple of weeks, but at some point you say to yourself, this is just a friend making a comment about another friend. So is this as damaging? I don't know. I don't think it is it?
Lighten up, Francis.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure she tweeted and was upset. Or he.
Francis?
Yes.
The mythical Francis?
Yes.
Probably.
Seriously, this is so not a big deal.
Probably. Now, in other similar news, Mark Halperin, the author of Game Change, among other books, has just lost a deal with HBO. He had sold another one of his books to HBO. They have rescinded the deal, saying we don't want anything to do with Mark Halperin. And you and I were talking about him earlier. He was on the show about 2.5 years ago. He was in studio with us.
To talk about that book?
To talk about, what was the book he was, at the time, I can't remember which book he was talking about, but it was like Game Change. If you don't remember Game Change, it was behind the scenes of the election, the Obama election over John McCain. They turned it into a miniseries over at HBO, a very successful miniseries.
The Circus?
No, that's separate.
Oh, it is?
This one was called Game Change.
Oh, I'm sorry. Correct.
This is the one that Julianne Moore played Sarah Palin in.
Yes.
And was so good in. So this was a follow-up. It was the same co-author. So we had him in studio.
Double down.
That's what
we had him on for.
That's it. Right. And he seemed to be a very, very nice, upstanding guy. And then allegations all over the place in the last couple of days about him.
And he lost his HBO deal that was supposed to happen, and he also had a new book that was going to come out, and whoever the book company is said, no, we're
they
not going to.
They pulled the plug on
yeah.
it. Yeah.
We are not going to have anything to do with someone like this.
Right.
And he's pretty much said, sorry.
Yeah, he has. As has former President George H.W. Bush, who now has 3 accusers in the last couple of days.
Now, I'm a little confused on that. Did that happen recently with H.W.?
Some fairly recent, some years ago. The first person who came out was the actress. Her name is escaping me. That was 3 or 4 years ago, but the most recent one was this year. And his wife, Barbara, always seems to be nearby, which is strange.
Because
I mean, it's all strange, but even stranger that she's right there.
Because he doesn't mean anything by it. It's not right.
That's debatable. He still has to know the difference between what is and isn't comfortable. And one of his excuses was that he does this to lighten the mood. You know, he's got this David Copperfield joke.
I didn't even get that yesterday when Steve. No, because I didn't.
Oh my God.
I didn't understand it. I'm like, since when is he from Boston or something? Why is he saying it weird?
So his thing is, he's got all these people around him, most notably a beautiful woman nearby. And he says, "Do you know who my favorite magician is?" And then his answer is David Copperfield, to which he touches the woman.
So at least he's got material.
But his excuse is he does that to lighten the atmosphere, to lighten the mood. But I don't think so. Is it? Is that a mood lightener? It certainly wouldn't be if you were the person who got groped by him. That wouldn't be a mood lightener.
I'm not supporting it, and I think he shouldn't be doing it. Although, remember the term dirty old man? I don't think he did this stuff before.
I don't remember there being any word that he was doing this prior.
No.
Right.
So he's just...
And then part of it, what did you read the part about he was saying he's been in a wheelchair for several years now. So he says because of the height of his wheelchair, he's in proximity to these body parts.
I'd have to agree with him on this. Nice defense.
He is, but still, then you have to be extra careful, don't you?
Yeah, but that's where your eye level is. You're just constantly looking at him.
I guess.
I'm not saying it's right, and please, I'm just trying to be funny.
It seems so bizarre.
It is bizarre, and with Barbara there, I feel like he is just trying to goof around, because if he was serious about harassing someone, which does this fall into that category? I don't know that it does.
I guess the people you have to ask are the people who it was done to. And then is he using the fact that Barbara's so close by as an excuse, like...
If I meant this.
I wouldn't be doing this if Barbara was so close by, certainly. You know?
It's not right. I'm not saying it's right. So please don't text and call. I'm not saying it's right.
No.
But, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. If we had him in the studio and, you know, he wheeled by, I'd be like, Mr. Bush.
Right.
And I'd laugh and blow it off, and that was all done.
Years ago at another station, WLS. Tony Curtis was in the studio with us a couple times. Now Tony Curtis was, for years, one of the Lotharios of Hollywood. He was one of the most desirable leading men. But in these days, he was an older man, right? And he was quite randy. So we didn't know quite how to take that. Like, there were women working on the show that were chased by Mr. Curtis in his wheelchair, and we were part amused by it. But we were also like, but this is so wrong. You know?
That was meant as a joke. And these are people who have always gotten attention, so they're looking for ways to get attention.
I guess
that's
so.
It.
No, I think you're right.
I think, you know, listen, he shouldn't be touching anyone on the behinds.
No.
But the joke, I don't know. Forgive me for thinking that's stupidly funny.
The David Copperfield joke.
It's stupid.
But, yeah.
He's harmless.
I guess, but... I think it falls to the discretion of the whatever woman he is.
That's absolutely it.
Both telling the joke to and grabbing at the same time, right? Isn't it? It kind of is.
We were talking about this off the air, too. And being in radio for a long time, there are a lot more men than women. Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
But there are conversations that I have been involved in that were probably not... they were probably very blue, and I would just throw in a blue comment back and then walk away because I didn't want to make a big deal about it. I'm not going to put the hashtag Me Too.
Right.
Nothing's happened to me in that respect, but it does depend on the person.
Yes.
I'm thinking about other people that were perhaps in my position. They would have been horrified. They would have been scared.
Right.
So you have to work the room in a sense. So it does depend on the individual.
Right. Right. And the climate of the room itself, right? You know, when you're among people that you know, sometimes there's a little more of an allowance over what can be said and done, right?
Right.
Right. All right, let's take a quick break. News is next, and then there's all kinds of things beyond that. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder and WGN. Wendy, not only is Kurt Wagner here from TVShowPatrol.com, but he has brought the most stylish hat that I've seen in over a year and a half. That's a handsome hat you're wearing.
Since the last time I wore it.
Yeah.
What is it, like a plaid fedora that 14-year-old boys wear?
It's a plaid hat.
You know who would wear that hat proudly is Norm Crosby.
It does. It says color, plaid. I figure it's young men or old men.
Yeah.
And I hope it is.
Nobody in the middle
category.
Yes, you do, Kurt. Nobody's debating that. Nobody's debating that.
It is,
you know,
perfect,
why we're excited?
Hat weather.
You know what's got us very excited is one of our favorite TV shows comes back for season two tonight.
I'm not ready.
You have to be ready. It starts tonight.
I want to watch the first season. I didn't binge that yet.
Oh, well,
but you've already seen it once.
I know, but
you're gonna,
I like to...
Oh, you wanted to reacquaint yourself?
Yes.
You're going to watch the whole first season again?
Well, I don't have time.
This is, for people who don't know, this is Stranger Things, which really surprised a lot of people last year. It was one of those kind of, it looked like it would be a cult hit, and instead, everybody who saw it
came
went
out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it just had all the right things, the nostalgia factor.
For people who didn't see it last year, just quickly give an overview of what Stranger Things is.
It's a story about this small town, and this kid disappears, and so everybody starts searching for him. There's an element of a sort of secret corporate
right.
building where things are happening and nobody knows what's happening
right.
there. So
Matthew
and then
Modine works there.
Then somebody escapes from there and gives a clue
yeah.
about what's going on there, and there's just these supernatural things happening. So anyway, this kid's brother and his pals, all of them grade school age,
yeah.
Start to try to investigate it and find out where he is and if they can find him, and they befriend this girl who suddenly shows up, and they hide her from everyone, and
yep.
and it's just adventures.
It's well
right
made.
Left.
It looks like something you'd have watched in the late 70s or the early 80s.
Right.
The graphics look like
right.
that.
It's very sort of Stand By Me crossed with E.T. crossed
yeah.
with any of those.
The
sort
Goonies.
Of, the
yeah.
Goonies, yeah,
Goonies
like that kind of stuff.
There,
yeah,
a little bit.
It has a ton of that sort of nostalgia stuff in it.
And Winona Ryder.
And Winona
Ryder, who plays a character just slightly less scary than the real Winona Ryder. She toned
nice
it down
woman,
a little
I'm
bit.
Sure.
I'm sure she is.
She just cries a lot in this,
yes,
this show.
Yes, her moments of sadness.
So yeah, season two. Today. Right now. Go home.
So
leave
Wendy
work.
Currently is binge watching. As you and I are speaking, Wendy
I'm
is
watching right
season
now.
One right now.
She is. Oh, and then the new twist for
yeah?
this season.
What is it?
Not in the show. They're going to have a Beyond Stranger Things after show. Netflix is jumping on the bandwagon.
Like
now, this
Talking
is weird.
Dead. Yeah. I love
this
these things.
This is weird because it's not an episodic. It's not one episode a week. So it's like if you have the, I guess if you have the patience to do one episode of Stranger Things,
mm-hmm.
then watch the after show, then the second
oh,
episode,
yeah.
then watch the after show. I don't know if they're going to do it that way. I'm not quite sure. I don't think that they... I didn't see anything that explained that, if they're all already shot or what. But they're going to explain things. They're going to have guest cast, you know, cast members come on, just like a regular after
But look
show
at what's happened to TV in our lifetime. Like, nobody would have done that with the hit shows of the 60s or the 70s or the 80s. But now Andy Cohen does that with all the Real Housewives shows.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hardwick does it with all the Walking Dead shows. And now it's happening with Stranger Things.
Right. And it's almost any show that was starting some kind of phenomena.
Yeah.
Like some kind of internet thing. I mean, Walking Dead really, really pushed it, was sort of the first big one, I
right.
think. But then it just spread. And it's always fun when there's a show that maybe isn't
Wendy
quite...
and I tried that with Two Broke Girls and nobody watched it.
Well, you guys sort of have an after show, right?
I guess the bonus hour is sort of it. Yeah.
And This Is Us does that now. They have a short little vignette afterwards, a couple 5 minutes maybe.
Online?
With the director. I was watching it on the NBC app.
Oh.
And I think this year that French show... Versailles is doing a thing on Facebook after each episode on Saturday
night. I like
this
stuff because you know what? You always kind of want more when the episode's
yeah.
over and
well,
you want to talk about
it. I think fans of, if you're like a huge fan of something, you do want to sort of dive deep, you know,
But you know what, Kurt, is I don't like them to divulge what's coming in future weeks.
Right. I think they do pretty well with that.
Do they?
Of not
okay,
giving
good.
Stuff away.
Because I never even watch, like at the end of almost any show I like, they show you a couple of clips of what's coming, and I don't want to, I want to always
be surprised.
They don't
reveal that much.
They usually talk about that episode. If it's on regular TV and it's episodic,
yeah.
then they talk about, you know, what did this mean?
Oh.
You know, or,
yeah.
or why did you choose this
yeah.
avenue or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, that's exciting. So Stranger Things starts today. You could be watching it right now. Well, why would you? Stay here. Watch it later on Netflix. And then Beyond Stranger Things happens whenever you feel the need to see it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Wendy and I were discussing this guy, Ryan Murphy, yesterday. Ryan Murphy is the guy who spearheads shows like Glee, American Horror Story. He's got quite a diverse resume.
People versus
OJ Simpson. Yeah. That was his also.
Feud.
Oh, right. That was his, too. Mm-hmm. That's the Joan Crawford, Betty Davis miniseries.
And if you go way back, he did that. What was that FX show about the facelifts? Way back when. Oh, Nip-tuck.
Yeah.
That was one of his first.
Yeah. So now he has a show coming out called Pose. What's this all about?
It is about, it's set in the 1980s, and it's about the ball culture in
what
New
is
York
that?
In the 80s. Not necessarily all transgender, but cross-dressing, doing, you know, where they go and they strike poses. And
Yeah.
Like that song.
Vogue dancing? Like Vogue?
Yeah. That song Vogue was a lot of those poses were from the ball culture. And I think there was a movie back in the day called Paris is Burning, a documentary about it that was excellent. It was pretty amazing. And so the big deal with this is that he has cast the largest cast of transgender actors or actresses for a networked television show ever.
Oh, that's
as series regulars, not just as popping in for one episode or anything. But there's a huge list of them, and some of them actually had been people who were on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh yeah,
and who are New York luminaries, you know, famous drag performers in New York and stuff like that. So it's the largest cast.
And then he also has James Vanderbeek.
Those were announced this
Kate
week.
Mara,
Evan Peters, Kate Mara, James Vanderbeek, and Tatiana Maslany. Billy Porter, who Chicago audiences might know from Kinky Boots when he performed in Kinky Boots here, the stage show.
And that's starting when?
Sometime next year.
Sometime soon.
Yeah, they're starting to film November.
Oh, all right. We'll take a quick break and then more with Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. Any questions or comments, 312-981-7200 gets that done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
There.
Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. He knows stuff. I don't know how he does it. He just does. He just knows stuff about the TV. What is this? This is tonight. There's a special on CBS called Michael Jackson's Halloween. What is that, Kurt?
It is an animated show, and it will feature his music.
Oh, really?
It's just
from Thriller?
A new sort of holiday special.
Yeah?
Yes.
What do you know about, there's a special on Saturday night with Tom Hanks as his character David S. Pumpkins from last year's Saturday Night Live. It's an animated special. Have you seen it? Do you know anything
I have not
about
seen it, but I've seen the commercials for it. And he did that. Didn't he do that on Saturday Night Live? Yeah.
Last
oh, you
year.
Just said that.
Yeah.
I should listen.
Why bother? No time for that.
Yeah, and he's doing the animated version there.
I hope it's good. I thought it was very funny as a 4-minute scene, but I don't know if it'll play out as a half hour animated.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Wasn't there an animated Jackson 5 cartoon?
Yes.
Oh, there was. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yep.
Enjoyable.
Very enjoyable.
I remember that, too. Yeah.
Also, speaking of Halloween type things, Edgar Allan Poe Buried Alive on PBS.
This looks really good.
Yeah.
And that's why I put it on this list, because Dennis O'Hare, who...
I know that name. Who is that?
He has been in a lot of the American Horror Stories.
Oh
he's been in a lot of Chicago theater stuff.
Yeah.
He is in it and plays Edgar Allan Poe, so it's going to be sort of a mix of documentary about Edgar Allan Poe, but also him doing Edgar Allan Poe in scenes and different parts.
He played a con man in the American Horror Story, the circus sideshow one. He
yes.
was a con man in that.
And then he was a drag queen guy in the hotel one.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor. He's a great actor. But it looks really good. I've seen some of the promos for it.
So that's Edgar Allan Poe Buried Alive on PBS.
Yeah, on Monday.
All right. Also, since it's Halloween, a little more about H.H. Holmes. There's another miniseries about him.
Jeez.
Now, this is all in anticipation of the movie version of Devil in the White City. Everybody's very excited about that, but there's little side projects, including this one. What is the murder cast?
Yeah, well, earlier this year we had the one where the guy was trying to prove that, the descendant was trying to prove that he was actually Jack the Ripper also.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't think he did.
No.
And then The Murder Castle is on Investigation Discovery Network. You have that somewhere on your dial if you have basic cable, I think. It's a 3-part miniseries, and it's just another look at Holmes and what he did at that hotel.
It's amazing that
and the trap doors and all the secret passages.
That he pulled it off is so amazing. And everybody always said, it was such a transient city at the time. People were coming in, people were going out. Nobody was really keeping tabs on who was where.
Well, and it was around the time.
The city was busy.
Yeah, it was around the time of the World's Fair. So, yeah, nobody knew and nobody noticed. I mean, that people would just disappear in their rooms, would go into their room and never come out.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a different, it was a totally different world. And I mean, they didn't even have TV or, you know, there was no way to.
What a horrible world to live in.
Just contact anyone.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. SWAT is back?
Yes.
Is this the first season of the new SWAT or the second season?
The first season of the new SWAT, and that starts Thursday. And, you know, it's okay.
It sounds funny the way you said it.
It's the usual CBS cop procedural, you know.
Something. What is the upgrade between the old SWAT, the Steve Forrest SWAT?
I kind of like the
SWAT.
Steve Forrest SWAT.
I did too.
Right now. Yeah.
Who is your favorite SWAT guy?
I don't remember.
Wendy? Any
the
favorites?
One guy who used to shoot people.
Yeah, that guy. He was good.
I don't remember.
Deke, McCabe, Street, Hondo.
He remembers all of them.
I liked Hondo.
That was Steve Forrest.
All right. Well, that's all I remember. I didn't watch it that much. I got to be honest with you.
I watched that. But this is just, you know, your basic procedural.
Yeah.
Something bad happens.
And then they fix
in.
It. The SWAT
they
guys come
it.
And they fix it.
There's some little twists, like private life twists going on and stuff, but it's just okay.
To make the guys more human. They're not just shooting people. They're also human.
They're not just robots.
No, they're not
killers
robots.
Killers with a heart of gold.
Yes.
They're not Terminators.
No.
They're people.
Although Robot SWAT would be a good show, too. I would watch Robot SWAT. Nathan Fillion has a new
TV
series.
Wasn't that RoboCop?
Oh, yeah, I guess it was. Yeah, it was. Nathan Fillion is back on TV?
He's going to be back on TV. ABC straight to series order for the show called The Rookie.
But that's not based on The Rookies. That's separate.
That's not based on the baseball, The Rookie.
No.
Is that what you're talking
Rookie
about?
Rookie of the Year? No. There was a show on called The Rookies that was like, it was a precursor to SWAT, actually.
With Michael Ontkean?
Yeah. Yeah.
My God, you guys are dropping the serious,
yeah,
the serious
very good.
Old
Don't mess
TV
with us.
Stuff.
He was Willie.
Oh, I loved him. And
he
then he
good.
Went on to Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
No,
he
I
was
don't
Harry
remember
Truman.
That. This is based on something, some book. Our true story. Oh, he plays John Nolan, the oldest rookie in the LAPD. He decides at a certain age in his career that he wants to leave his small town life as a cop and go to LA to become a big city cop. So he goes through the program and he's a rookie where he's working with kids 20 years his junior.
Nathan Fillion's a very likable actor.
Yeah, well, he was
I
in
like
Castle
him.
For years.
Yeah.
He was in Castle for years on ABC. And so now he's sort of back.
And some sci-fi shows prior to that.
Yeah, well.
And wasn't he in like Melrose Place or 90210 or something
he?
Like that?
He might have been.
I thought he was.
Maybe?
Yeah.
All right, so other than Stranger Things today, what's the most exciting thing on TV this week? What's the one thing you can't wait to see?
Well, that Edgar Allan Poe I'm excited to
that
see.
That looks good.
George Gently, and I know we have a lot of readers who watch Acorn TV, the British streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
The last two of his long-running mysteries, they're like feature length movies, will start Monday on Acorn
TV.
Yeah, and it's a British detective show.
You know what I find
forever.
Myself doing almost every week when you're on? There's networks I didn't know Acorn TV existed until not this time, but the last time you mentioned them.
Yeah.
So there's this, I guess everyone knows this, on your satellite or on your cable, there's a search mode and you can just type in the name of a network and it'll find it for you.
Well,
welcome to 2017.
I didn't know that until recently.
Yeah, sometimes,
no you
but you can
that.
Get it through Amazon if you do
oh,
the Amazon
you?
Thing.
All right.
But or you can just watch it on your computer.
That's
and,
easy.
And blast it to your TV. It's on Roku and all these other places.
Great to see you and even greater to see your hat. That's a handsome hat that you're wearing today.
Thank you.
I like it very much. Kurt Wagner's website is tvshowpatrol.com. It's great. Visit it whenever you can. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy when on WGN.
You all right?
I'm okay now.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. And it's ironic that you come in today because the Snyder Mac household got a new pet yesterday.
What? All right.
I thought you'd be excited.
Yeah.
Dylan has two Russian tortoises named Doc and Marty.
Who had no effect on the election.
I don't think that's
Please
true.
Don't think that they did, because they didn't, Steve Dale, noted pet expert.
That, of course,
and conspiracy
from Back to
theorist.
The Future, Doc and Marty.
Yes.
And then yesterday, Dylan wanted a hermit crab, and
oh,
I
really?
Said, I had a hermit crab growing up, so let's get a hermit crab, and his name is Ringo.
Oh, that's very nice.
I'm reliving my childhood with all these pets that my kids want. And we have Tiki, of course.
Of course. Tiki the dog.
Yes.
Now, yeah. What goes on? They pick out their own. Do they come in a shell or do they pick out a shell? I'm trying to remember how that plays out.
Can I tell you? Well, you are the pet expert. You should say it.
Well, they pick out their shell. And now you could buy all these designer shells. You would like a hermit crab. Here's why.
We used to have one.
Really?
Yeah, we did when
Your
I was a
Your mom
kid.
Tried everything.
We had every kind of. You can't name an animal we didn't have
but
when I was a
here's
kid.
Why you could try a hermit crab again. You could pick out a shell that has a baseball team logo
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
Really?
I've seen that.
Seriously.
Not just baseball, yeah. basketball, football,
anything.
Hockey. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Seen
I feel that that's an embarrassment, much like dressing your dogs or cats for Halloween, because that's not a real shell they'd find on a beach. They have glow-in-the-dark shells now.
Oh,
you
they
have
do.
To put shells in the enclosure because as they grow, they crawl out of their shell and get into a new shell.
But what if you put your hermit crab in like a Blue Jays shell and he goes, I'm a Red Sox fan. I can't believe you put me in a Blue Jays shell. This is awful.
It's animal abuse.
You have to consult with
it's
them.
Abuse. Yeah, yes, it yeah, clearly.
Yeah. But they're stupid. Dylan's like, how long do they live? I don't know, 3 to 5 years. I go, they're not really fun, but yet I enjoyed mine.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That's all right.
You can't teach it. I mean, it just kind of walks around, right?
Well, I put it in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. And you could probably teach. I've not tried to teach a hermit crab anything.
Yeah.
But you could probably try. So you could shine a light. And when you shine a light, feed the crab, and the crab will know when the light is
conditioning.
Shined. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Seriously.
I assume. I've not tried that. But
you know what I liked about the one I had when I was a kid is it was quiet. Like a lot of the pets we had made crazy noises or smelled funny. But
they
this
walk
one was
around at night, though. They go,
yeah.
Can I tell you what the loudest pet is in the world?
Huh?
Russian tortoises.
Really?
Really? Why?
You guys, it's driving us nuts. There are two of them in a pretty large aquarium.
Is it all those late night toast when they have vodka and go?
No, because yeah. the light goes
Nostrovia!
Off at 8 p.m. But during the day, they get bored. They like to roam and they clank their shells into the glass.
Oh.
And it is
Ooh.
So annoying.
Oh.
It's good that you don't have broken glass, I suppose.
Well, they don't hit them that hard, but
yeah.
you know, imagine
you can
having
hear the clicking.
Oh
all night.
My God, it drives you nuts!
Yeah.
So somebody said to put that fake frosted glass stickum on the outside because what they're doing is seeing beyond the enclosure,
sure.
and they're trying to
get out.
Yeah, because they like to wander. We have a kid pool. That Dylan puts him in to walk around.
Yeah.
And he needs to do that every day so they're not restless.
I think I've seen that on your Facebook page.
Yeah. You know what? We're all trying to be better pet parents lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
well,
it's
you,
perfect
you are,
you're in.
You aren't bad. To be in your house and to be a pet isn't a bad thing. Now, do you dress Tiki up for Halloween?
You do, don't you?
No.
You
God,
don't?
No.
I hope you
Although,
don't.
I was listening to Mary Sandberg, who has her nephew Biscuit, her sister's dog. Who's being
her nephew's name is Biscuit?
Yeah, that's her sister's dog.
Oh,
so
okay.
it's her pet nephew.
Okay.
Katie dresses her up every year, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to put my Duncan Keith Blackhawks jersey on Tiki maybe this year.
Nice.
For about 1 minute till he looks at me with this look like, would
Why
you take it
this?
Off?
Yeah.
Then take it off. So some pets, I would argue, some pets love it. They really do. They like the extra attention.
How do you know?
Because they see, well, you could tell.
Oh, they prance around in it and stuff.
Okay, so if Tiki likes something, your dog likes something, you can tell.
Well, tail wagging, smile on the face.
Yeah, you can tell.
All right.
So people really, I mean, they really like, I mean, maybe they've grown up around kids. Maybe they've grown up wearing costumes. For whatever reason, they either don't care, they're ambivalent, or they really like it. For those pets, great. However, you're right. There are many who look humiliated.
Sure. Yep.
And I would argue they are humiliated. Don't do it.
I'm so glad to hear you say this, Steve. I thought you were going to go the opposite route.
Really? Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
It
just sure
depends
it.
On the pet.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It depends on, and to a degree, I guess, on the costume. So if it's a costume that it's difficult to move in.
Like a coconut bra?
By the way, you would get arrested for that. Go on,
what?
Dress your dog
well,
in that and see what
it
happens.
Put it on their back so you could actually see
right,
it and then a little hula skirt.
That seems doable. All right.
I've not seen that.
Wow.
I've judged many Halloween contests for pets. Bertrand did once.
Did he? What did he do?
It was so fun. I was somewhere in the suburbs in Highwood, maybe,
yeah.
at their pumpkin festival.
Yeah.
And there was a pet contest, and they had me out there to judge it because I do that every year somewhere, it seems.
Yeah.
And Bertrand was in the crowd. Remember?
He just came to watch? He wasn't a contestant. He was
I
just watching?
I don't honestly remember, but I was thrilled to see Bertrand show his love for pets.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it was clear.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience saw it as well.
So,
but people
be...
dressed up their pets.
Right, here comes Bertrand. What's the real deal?
Steve. Noted pet expert Steve. Oh, he left? Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Gave Steve a dirty look and left.
Yes.
Would it be for like, give me the ratio on dogs to cats. Is it both pets that don't, you don't want to dress them up if it's a dog or a cat? Although,
I didn't
we used
say
to
that.
Remember we used to have Peanut the Gibbon when
uh-huh.
I was growing up?
Yes.
And every year he wanted to be Chief Justice Thurgood Marshall. Isn't that crazy? I don't know why.
And did he look the part?
Yeah, he looked
and
just like
he played the part too.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
He was great.
Cats, not as much. Cats seem to have less tolerance for it. But again, there are individual cats that say, I don't
care. I can't imagine them
care.
Sitting still while you're trying to put the costume on. They don't want any part of that, do
well,
they?
Well, you know, for pets that really don't like a costume, and if you're determined to do it, you can get a bandana
yeah.
and put that around the pets.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
who are they then with the bandana?
It depends on
a
the
bank
team.
Robber.
A yeah. bank robber
in the olden days.
Oh, I guess.
No. I'm thinking like a baseball team. You
yeah,
know,
they
that
make
has,
them.
They do make them for pets or a animal shelter. They have logos, you know,
yeah.
for different shelters. So for pets, if you're determined to do it, and a lot of pets love trick or treating and going out with the family,
mm-hmm.
but many do not. It's crazy out there, right?
Well, doorbells keep ringing. It must
no,
scare
if you,
them.
No, if you're out trick-or-treating, you bring your dog.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, right. but
too
Bill,
many people.
But Bill is right. So when that doorbell goes...
Ding dong!
Some pets just...
Celebrity
keeps,
doorbell impersonator.
Because it keeps going.
It's like to be Zsa Zsa Gabor's doorbell.
It keeps going.
Ding dong, darling.
It keeps going...
Sorry,
we're listening.
Steve.
I promise you, it keeps going and going and going.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so, the door opens.
Yeah.
And...
So some pets love it. But I'll tell you, one of the days when people lose their animals more than any other is Halloween.
Oh, I bet, because the door's open all the time
yep.
and the
yep.
pet
so
gets out.
I am a fan of keeping animals, particularly distressed pets,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them are, especially cats, behind a closed door. You know, in a second bedroom, in a den.
Mm-hmm.
That way there's no chance.
Yeah.
Even if you say, well, my cat probably won't do it, there's no chance. When animals are afraid, sometimes they'll just run. And that open door could be the escape route. So keeping them in that room is something I'm a fan of. Get a product, if it's a cat, called Feel Away. It is or Adaptil if it's a dog. And these are... pheromone products. I couldn't think of the word for a second.
I know, I couldn't either. I was going to
help
you.
You know how often I've talked about
it.
This? They're pheromone products or copies of pheromones that animals naturally emit to help them feel more comfortable in their own environment. And also pump up the music, give them something
really?
Else to do.
Because it's distracting? Is
mm-hmm.
that why?
It drowns out the ding dong.
Yeah, and if you give them something else to do. So if the dog is going chewing, making a chewing sound,
yeah.
I can't. Don't look at me. I'm not Fred Travellina.
Come on, Michael Winslow. Help noted pet expert Steve Dela. Like that?
Exactly like that, yeah. Sorta. So if the dog is busy happily chewing on something.
While an express train is coming.
Come the on, dog.
That's right. All right. That's better.
This is like radio used to be.
Right.
Then,
before it was good.
Then that's not true. Then the dog won't be worried or frightened.
Oh, yeah.
About the doorbell going ding dong.
Right, right. It all makes sense. You know who's here is noted pet expert Steve Dale. If you have any questions or comments for Steve Dale, 312-981-7200 is the way to be. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN, along with noted pet expert Steve Dale. He's not just a pet expert. He's been noted.
Noted.
We're at 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments. And we do have some. Let's talk to Carol. Carol has, well, I'll let her tell you, Steve. Be prepared.
Okay.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Couldn't be better. Carol, what's up?
Well, my daughter went to a pet store to buy a lizard, and she saw this cute little bunny running around the store. And they said, well, I hope you like the bunny. You should take him home, because if you don't, we're going to feed him to the python. So guess what we have?
Oh.
A giant checkered bunny who's living on our back porch. And, yeah, he's cute as all get out, but I don't want the bunny, and I don't want to just give him away. Is there, like, a safe place, like a bunny rescue? Or
yeah, there is.
Is there really?
Yeah, it's called Red Door Animal Shelter. So, you know, I do. They're up in Rogers Park. I implore upon you to consider reading about keeping pet rabbits, but if you absolutely won't do it, because they can be really wonderful pets, but if you cannot do it, Red Door Animal Shelter is a great place.
Do they take tortoises too, just in case the banging keeps?
No, No, I'm not going to even say no. They don't, and the banging is good for you.
Oh, God. Okay, Nick DiGilio. You know,
they just poop everywhere, you know. And I have him in a really nice big hutch, but he's so big, I don't know where else to put him.
You know, we had a rabbit. Bill has one now, but you have a dwarf indoor one. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know what the designation is, but it's a specially bred rabbit.
Sure,
it's house trained basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And ours, Carol, when I was growing up, was like 12 pounds. Nosy was really huge, and we had an outdoor hutch,
mm-hmm.
and there was a little shingled house in there that we would stuff with straw in the winter because he would burrow in there. So we kept him outside.
Oh. And is that okay?
Well,
I guess it's all right.
Keeping him outside is
Nosy
really...
lived to be 12.
Okay. Okay. However, heated hutch, I hope.
Yeah. No, you know, it wasn't.
Yeah, well, it depends on what kind of rabbit it is. You
That's
know?
True.
He's a giant checkered, so he's huge. He's like a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah,
why did you buy that thing?
You could get away. So let me put it this way. You can get away with keeping him outside. Better for the rabbit to be indoors. There are predators outdoors, too, potentially. Better to be indoors.
Not in a locked hutch. Who's going to get him?
But
chicken
if he wanders,
wire?
Does he wander around the backyard, or did he?
No, this was on legs, and it was all enclosed.
Okay. I'm thinking of a hutch in a backyard, so the rabbit goes in the hutch when the rabbit wants to.
Oh, no, but, he was always in it.
Okay. So if it's a protected area, and better if it is heated, but... The heat actually.
How do you heat it though? Because they eat electrical cords. How do you heat a hutch? He chews on every cord.
You have to put. They sell this plastic covering. I know this because my daughters had to buy it for all their wiring. It's a plastic covering that goes over your electrical wires.
Oh, right,
and, they
and
can't
you can get that at
it.
Like Home Depot places like that. Yep.
Oh,
and for puppies
and
kittens, actually, it's a good idea to have that too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's very helpful. Well, maybe we'll try to do that.
Good luck, Carol. I hope it works out.
Google the House Rabbit Society. They have an entire book. It's free online about rabbit care.
Yeah.
And you really kind of owe it to the pets that you purchase or adopt to give them a chance. So if you try everything you can and still have a problem, then Red Door Animal Shelter.
But we convinced her.
I hope so.
I love that.
I am going to try it. And I will call you back in a couple months and let you know how it's going.
Please.
Thanks, Carol.
I love you for that. Thank you.
Steve, you want to hear a crazy story about Wendy's rabbit?
What
Nosy?
Is a crazy story?
Nosy wasn't named Nosy because of its adorable nose. It was named Nosy because it kept reading Wendy's diary. Isn't that crazy?
Did you have crickets for pets?
1 year we did.
I didn't have a diary. I just told my problems to my rabbit.
You know, listen, he thousands of one-liners. One just bombed. It's okay.
What kind of a business tactic is it for a pet store, by the way, to say, if you don't buy this animal, we're going to feed it to the other animals?
I know, that is terrible.
Is that common? Is that something that happens all the time?
No, I hope not.
Kathy, you have a similar situation. What's wrong with people? Go ahead, Kath.
I know. I've been trying to get rid of these African dwarf frogs for years because my kids have outgrown them. They've had them since they were tiny. And we've had them for about 15 years. So we have three. And every time I go, like, to Petco, PetSmart, Pet whatever, I'll ask the employees, do you know how I can get rid of these little frogs? My kids don't want them anymore. They're the easiest animals to take care of. They're kind of like goldfish. You change the water every 2 or 3 days, feed them, that's it. I don't know what to do with them anymore.
Have you called the local schools? Because a lot of times schools have pets that they have during the school year, and then someone takes them over the summer and cares for them.
Actually, Wendy, I was wondering if your kids would like them.
No, you want some tortoises? Because this all started with Dylan was like, I can't stand this banging. We can hear it. It's really bothersome.
Oh, no.
So we were thinking, maybe it's time to get rid of them. Plus, they live to be 50. They're going to outlive us.
The tortoises do. These frogs aren't going to live that much longer.
But Dylan decided to try and take care of them, but he does not want the frogs. Is that why you're calling, really, Kathy?
Well, one of my daughters is terrified of frogs, so she doesn't even look at them anymore. She didn't. She liked them when she was little, but they're very quiet. You don't even know we have them. They're just kind of put away in a
Wendy,
tiny...
take them.
No, but...
Come on.
But honestly, Kathy has a great question, Steve. What do you do with something like that? And can PetSmart put something, or Petco, put something on their bulletin board, like if anyone's interested in adopting frogs? What do you do, Steve?
Well, maybe they will put something on their bulletin board, but my opinion is a pet comes into your house, you said this earlier, it's yours, you know? And you've had these frogs for so long now.
They should croak pretty soon. Oh. Get it?
I quit. I have to.
But they're 15 years old. Won't they die soon?
Yes.
I kept thinking they would die after 2 or 3 years, or if we didn't, if we forgot to change their water for 2 weeks. But
whoa!
If we forgot to feed them for
two weeks,
they keep going.
But don't forget, they will eventually. Nature will take its course. And you've clearly done a very good job of taking care of these frogs, you know? So they've outlived their lifespan already. So,
Steve, would you like them?
I'm busy that day.
But, you know, check with the schools, because they do like to have stuff in the classroom, and then
it's kind of a fun thing for kids
during the summer. Like, we watched a turtle one summer, and hence became the love for things with a shell.
Unfortunately, being older frogs, they may see nature at its worst because...
Well, but I don't want to see them be dissected.
Oh, no, I don't mean that.
No, but they're not going to live forever. You've done a great job. Keep it up. Congratulations.
For being stuck with them, Kathy.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry we couldn't help more, Kathy.
I helped.
Have a good weekend. You tried to help.
There is an organization that takes reptiles and amphibians, but I'm not going to give her the name.
Well, that's rude and mean and terrible.
Know. But, you know, I don't know that they would take these older... I mean, what do they do with them?
Right.
You know? I mean...
Right.
I mean, these are frogs who have been in the frog family, for all this time.
15 years.
Yeah.
And these damn tortoises are going to be banging on the glass
forever.
For like 50 more years.
Forever. I know. Steve, thanks for...
50 years from now, they'll be rolling all of us into the studio here, and you'll be saying the same thing.
Dude, I will be dead in 50 years if I'm still alive. Yeah. How do you think I'm going to live to be over 100?
Trust her, Steve.
I plan on being here.
Oh, good luck. You and Bill. You'll be the last two survivors.
This is the saddest episode we've ever had with you, Steve.
It is.
This
isn't right.
That's noted pet expert and person who makes other people sad, Steve Dale.
No!
When are you on the air Sunday mornings early?
Yeah, 6:30 Sunday morning. I'll be talking about an animal shelter doing amazing things up in the way out suburbs in Crystal Lake.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good weekend. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve Bertrand has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, you got a couple different options here. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. You can listen in for our bonus hour, our stream of consciousness. We'd love to hear you, or keep it right here and listen to Steve Bertrand with the Wintrust Business Lunch.